Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. Feeling celebratory, I think, because now we're done with football completely. And that means we got to watch somebody celebrate. And that somebody wasn't in Boston. Oh, no. The cradle of college football didn't get to double up with the rare NFL title. No. It went to, as we predicted. I'm just going to say we predicted it. It doesn't hurt anybody, right? I, Spencer Hall, will just go ahead and assume the responsibility for this. We said Philadelphia was going to win, or at least we said they deserved to win, which is basically the same thing, is it not?
I think we made a spiritual prediction.
It may have been in connection to an Al Golden Temple game, but we probably said it at some point, yes.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say that there's no deserve here. I just think that in terms of celebrations, we got exactly what we got, the best possible result in terms of spectating, did we not?
We got what we needed. We definitely all got what we needed.
I mean, let's review things that I have not seen in a sports celebration. I have not seen people doing swan dives off of the awning of a Ritz-Carlton. That's a new one. Check.
Mm-hmm. I have not seen NBA players partying with Dr. Oz. That's a new one as well.
Also new. I've never seen a giant NBA player from Cameroon crash local news like Joel Embiid did and then say, trust the process, before running away.
Definitely never seen somebody start cursing like crazy on NFL Network. Thank you, Kevin Hart.
I did not watch that clip. Is it serious profanity?
Yeah, I'd say so. I'd say it's 2-game suspension. Profanity.
Wow.
Hey, y'all, I think I unlocked the audio software now.
Oh, I'm sorry. Our tech wizard, Jason, has joined the podcast.
Yeah, it said the free trial has ended. So here comes some noise, and it sounded like I was in, like, it was like all this fuzzy noise. So then I went in my email, mm-hmm. and I found a code that Ryan had sent, and I put in the code. Now the noise is gone. So we're talking about Kevin Hart.
Thank you for that dramatic detour. If you do not know, we're currently discussing celebrations. Jason is the thing we're discussing. Only the kind of celebrations that I think that Philadelphia could have provided.
And because we're kind, Jason, we have left the best part, or the most distinctive part, of Philly's post-Super Bowl celebration out. And if you had to say one act that seemed unlike anything any other city has ever done to celebrate a Super Bowl, which act would it be?
Are we referring to jumping off the canopy?
No, we're not. No, it's not that. People jump off things, and yeah, it's off a fancy hotel awning, but, like, that's just some basic property destruction and trespassing. No.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the guy who ate horse poop.
Oh, I missed this.
Oh, my God! Spencer, this is not news to you, is it?
No, it is not. I unfortunately saw every single bit of that. So, yay. Way to go, Philly. You ate horse poop.
What do you think that dude is doing today?
Let's see. He's probably got a lot of, he's probably got a lot of Facebook messages. He seems like a Facebook guy, does he not?
Yes.
He's probably putting Cheese Whiz on it and putting it on a hoagie. And there you have the ultimate Philadelphia delicacy.
Yo, Jared, we saw you eating the horse poop. Jared, me and Donna were watching the Facebook Live. We saw you eating the horse poop.
You're a store. An absolute internet store. Yeah, that's what he's.
You went viral, Jared. Jared, you gone viral.
Nobody thought this was a bad thing. There might have been like two or three people.
Dr. Oz was there cheering him on, saying, this is great for you.
He was. You could unlock the power of your genetics.
The secret doctors don't want you to know. It's horse feces.
It's called Pepigenetics, and all you need to do is eat this horse poop off a street in Philly. That and 8 blueberries a day, and you'll live until you're 190.
It's called Johnetics. It's totally different.
Oh, God. So what we wanted to kind of talk about tonight, since, again, we have no actual college football news, right?
No.
Their signing day coming up.
Oh, wait. Florida threw a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Florida! So this is list of schools where list of schools from the SEC where they've had a guy throw a TD in a touchdown, right?
In a Super Bowl?
Yeah, thrown for a TD in a Super Bowl as a quarterback, right?
Okay.
We got Rex Grossman.
Yeah.
Right? Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Who Eli won a championship last night as well in a commercial.
Yeah, we have Peyton Manning, obviously.
Yeah. Never heard of him. Bama has not one, not two, but three. But all of them are very old before people knew what quarterbacking was.
So Joe Namath and Ken Stabler, but I don't know who the third one is.
Bart Starr.
Oh, Bart Starr. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bart Starr was kind of like, he kind of balled out in Super Bowl I, actually. He had like 250 yards passing. And actually threw a TD. He actually threw two TDs, which is two more than Joe Namath threw in his single Super Bowl.
And one of them was to a guy named Max, whose entire Super Bowl preparation was drinking by the pool. That's all I remember from one of those like Crunch Course tapes.
Listen, at the time, Dr. Oz recommended it as the best way to... Dr. Oz is undead, is what I'm telling you.
I'm not judging. I'm impressed that he took a break from smoking that long. put down a cigarette for a minute.
Who else? Yeah, have we forgotten?
Let's see. We have no one from Mississippi State yet. Waiting on you, Jack.
Surely SEC legend Chase Daniel.
DJ Shockley. Nope.
DJ Shockley. Let's see. No, that's it. No one from Georgia. No one from Vandy, of course. And I believe that was it. No one from LSU. I know, shocking, given the fine quarterback tradition.
Well, listen, I would not have been shocked if like a non-quarterback from LSU had thrown a touchdown.
Yes. Which, by the way, Trey Burton. If you don't know, like part of the joke, haha. Trey Burton wasn't a quarterback. I mean, he was.
I would say he has been a quarterback.
He has been a quarterback. And in his heart, obviously part of him is still a quarterback. And he threw to Nick Foles. And I forgot how easy it is to throw to Nick Foles because he's 6'6". You forget that Nick Foles is 6'6".
Listen, this is that time in Florida football history when they said, well, okay, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. But what if you have seven? What about them? Then you gotta have something, right? It's gotta be at least a third of a quarterback. What if I have 18 quarterbacks? What if the whole roster's quarterbacks?
I like that you get, by the way, I was looking this morning through the list of like quarterbacks from different colleges who've won Super Bowls. And there are so many from like Notre Dame and Michigan. So many. And yet so many of them are like by the same guy. Right, like with Notre Dame, they're like Joe Montana. Like, it's not cool. That's not fair. BYU gets one. Well, Steve Young. Come on.
And Jim McMahon, right?
And Jim McMahon. BYU gets two.
the polar opposite of Steve Young.
Yeah. Is he? Yeah, he is. You can't even. But you look through them, and then it's like Moorhead State, and every single picture they show of Phil Simms is the dumbest looking picture.
Hey, Alcorn State, man. Alcorn State's got a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
They do. It's true. R.I.P. R.I.P. Big Mac. Oh, God.
Cash and Carry Tech. They got what? They got Kurt Warner.
That's true. Isn't he technically a UNI?
I think we're giving credit to Hy-Vee for that one.
putting all them cans on the shelves put the strength in his hands. That's what allowed him to hold on to the ball so well.
You ever gripped a 3-liter? It's hard.
I'm telling you, if he'd done a little bit more, that Peyton Manning might have gotten 3 or 4. I'm just saying. A little hard work never hurt anybody, Peyton.
Just stealing. Hold on. I'm pretty sure by ACC rules, we are counting Russell Wilson for NC State, right?
Yeah, by ACC rules, we are counting Russell Wilson.
Which is mostly funny because sucks to be you, Philip Rivers. There are commercials that are definitely like, and NC State's greatest quarterback. And it's not you.
That NC State's greatest quarterback, Ryan Finley. Yes, Ryan Finley. Watch, we joked about this in the podcast now. So Ryan Finley's going to win like 8 Super Bowls, right?
We can bring it full circle and just make a Jacoby Brissett joke, because then that's a cell phone as well.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, you go through the long list of quarterbacks and realize that in the SEC, there's certain schools that really have never had a guy in there, like Georgia, for instance. I wasn't going to name any schools, but Georgia in particular.
I mean, you left Cam out, and I feel like that was disrespectful.
I left Cam out because it's sort of like, did Cam really? Cam sort of cameoed 1 year.
Yeah, it was a featured.
Hey man, that's another Gator in the Super Bowl.
Hey, that's right. That's another Florida Gator in the Super Bowl with Cam Newton. That's right. Blinn College, Blinn. We got to give Blinn credit there too. He doesn't get to the Super Bowl without Blinn. And then, but in looking at it and in thinking about Philadelphia, we wanted to focus on what the most absurd things that have been done in celebration are, the most extreme forms in celebration. Because, for instance, last night everybody said, oh, Philly's going to burn itself to the ground, right?
And to its credit, it did not.
It did not. No, Philadelphia was still standing. They really just dumped over some planters, you know, like stole some trees. Apparently somebody stole a tree. That's sort of eco-friendly, right?
That's fine.
I can't be totally against that as a crime.
It's just, you're just like Johnny Appleseed, but you slept in. That's essentially what he did.
Johnny Crappleseed, yeah.
King of Philly! That's Johnny. Johnny Crappleseed.
John Appleseed.
John Appleseed. J-A-W-N. So, yeah, which... Another moment, by the way, that happened today. Somebody might have woken up in a drunken, like, stupor in their bed, and there might have been an entire, like, sapling next to them. An entire uprooted sapling. Which, that'll have you wake up wondering some, like, things. Some questions that need to be answered. What did I do last night? Oh, God!
It's, of the options, tree is like, okay, I think, you know what? My journey is slow, but I do feel like I'm turning it around. If you wake up with a tree in your bed, you've definitely woken up with something worse. Definitely.
Well, if you wake up with a tree in your bed, do you sort of assume you're like, oh, I had weird wizard sex?
Oh no, yes, this ant is dead.
Yeah, exactly. It starts talking to you and it takes about 20 minutes. Well, should we get some breakfast?
Did I have sex with an ant? Am I a druid now? Oh, God.
Well, kind of.
Yeah, that happened. But that's nothing. Because remember, the worst celebration of all, like the most damaging celebration, it has nothing on Philadelphia. Nobody was killed last night. You say, oh, well, people get killed at these things? Like, seriously? Like, more than one, say, falling off of a telephone pole or something? Yeah. Yeah, 1990, Detroit. It's listed, by the way, in the Wikipedia entry. It says 1990 Detroit riot. Location, Detroit and surrounding areas. It was caused by the Pistons winning the 1990 finals. And on Wikipedia, the methods are listed as the following. Rioting, looting, shooting, assault, hit and run. It killed 8 people. Jesus. 124 people were injured and 170 were arrested. Like, some actual bad things happened. So before, you know, you hear about the carnage in Philadelphia, sir, madam, pronoun of your choice. This is nothing compared to what Detroit did in 1990, y'all.
In fairness, the 1990 Bad Boy Pistons were sort of premised on the idea that extreme acts of violence pay off.
Yeah, I would guess 10% of those arrests were by the roster itself.
Right. Bill, listen, I'm not saying Bill Laimbeer pushed a school bus down a hill into a crowd of people. I'm saying that you don't have footage proving that he didn't.
I'm saying he drove it.
Yeah. The incident, like a 21-year-old man fell off a roof. That's pretty much the tamest thing that happened in all of this. Because, damn, Detroit. And not that it's a celebration either, but Canada, we know your politeness is yet another lie. We know that you're being a variation of Minnesota nice, right? When passive aggression turns to outright aggression, because every 20 years or so, I don't know, they have to rebuild Vancouver.
But that's after a loss, right? That's not after a win. And we should separate the two. Like, when you lose it after a loss, that says some unhealthy things about you. But that's okay. I want us to separate that and not
get too wrapped up in that.
But that's
for the record.
Yeah.
For Canada being so nice. All right. This was 2011. This is not some sort of like dark excerpt from our troglodyte past as a culture, right? As a collective sporting culture. No, no, no. It broke out in Vancouver in June of 2011. 140 people injured. 4 people were stabbed. 9 cops went to the hospital. And they arrested 101 people. 887 charges total. And at least $5 million in property damage. The photo, when you look it up, is smoke billowing over the entire skyline. Like, it looks like a plane crash. And it's not the first time Vancouver did this. I just want that in the record before somebody's like, oh, Philly's crazy.
But maybe this was their way of being nice and saying, like, hey, Boston, we love you and we don't want you to destroy your city, so we'll destroy ours. And we'll have a proxy celebration for you. That's nice.
I don't want Vancouver doing any of my celebrating or mourning. I especially don't want them doing any of our mourning. Be like, oh, Vancouver, it's such a pleasant place. Yeah, just give it 20 like years or so to build that pressure and cook off.
It's fine. We also asked you, our devoted, loyal, nonviolent listeners, for your tales of, I will call them, irresponsible or inappropriate sports celebration. Y'all have some interesting stories, although I'm going to start with this one from Drew Chains at TurdFerg10. So we're already setting a good example here. I chucked 6 woodchuck hard apple ciders after Iowa State beat Iowa in the El Asico and proceeded to pass out in my underwear in somebody else's room in front of him and his girlfriend, whom I had just met that day. I want to go through the layers here. First of all, what we're talking about tonight is a Super Bowl. Like, Philadelphia, yes, had not won one of these, but they had, you know, they went to 4 NFC championships in a row. They'd been to the playoffs multiple times. They'd had good teams. But what we're talking about in this example is not that. We're not talking about Iowa State winning a national title. We're not even talking about them winning a conference title. It's a rivalry game. It's one game early in the season that was so exciting to Drew Chains that he decided to... Here's the part I like best. I proceeded to pass out in my underwear in somebody else's room. There's a key detail left. I'm assuming you didn't show up just in your underwear, sober, holding a 6-pack of hard apple ciders. Mm-mm. Something happened in between here, and maybe you don't remember what it was. Maybe you don't want to remember what it was. But there was a step in between passed out in my underwear and sober and clothed. And I'm really curious as to what happened in the middle there. Not so much that I want you to tell me, because I want you to hold that deep in your heart and whisper it to a relative on your deathbed. Without any context. just lean over to your little great-granddaughter, who's so cute and loves you, loves Grandpa Drew so much, and just say, I yacked all over my clothes. And then die.
All right, so you got homework out there.
Yeah. I like this one from Champagne Popovich at Ian Bendaughter. Drunkenly asked a news crew in downtown Cleveland if they needed celebration B-roll after the Cavs won the title. I then threw up all over my friend's car while the crowd yelled, "Puke and rally!" I had to clean that up in the morning before going to a job interview.
That's a movie.
Cleveland!
It's good because it's sort of, there's an intentionality to it. Like, you sort of, you went to the news crew. It's not like they were just filming and they happened to catch you puking. You were like, hey, people who will videotape this and put it online forever, come watch this. I'm going to vomit on my friend's car. I would like this to exist forever, please. I do think that is better than our colleague Jessica Smetana's anonymous family member who threw up on his car after the 85 Bears Super Bowl, and it was so cold it froze there.
Which, you know, if you think about things to chip off your car, really low on the list of things you want to.
I mean, it's so cold in Chicago, you could just leave it there. What's the difference?
It's, I guess, in some ways, frozen puke is easier to clean.
I think that sounds like something that they've seen more often than not in Chicago, though. Like, if it's on the car, they'll be like, oh, that's classic hood puke right there.
You friends, see it on
look,
every
friends,
car.
Look at that. That's good. That's good hood puke. Take a look at that.
This happened all through the 90s. After every Bulls title, every car has frozen puke all over it.
Dave had too much Malort, and he had a Windy.
Is that hot dog?
it's always hot dogs.
It's always, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He threw up a sweater.
it's a bear sweater, though, so some respect, okay?
He threw up a mustache.
R.I.P. Buddy Ryan. He puked up 8 sweaters one night, right here on this hood that you're looking at. I don't even know what accent that is. It's just belligerently drunk, cold, and probably 48 pounds overweight due to sausage consumption. That's what that accent is.
Here's one from Hardy Wallbanger on Twitter. It is a Nebraska fan in jeans and a Nebraska shirt. Peeing on Colorado's equipment truck. I'm guessing celebrating a win over Colorado.
I mean, you know, like, I think this goes back to, like, basically the massive time that Colorado embarrassed Nebraska and announced the end of their dominance and essentially their existence as a top tier program. So, yeah, go ahead, pee on that truck.
Yeah. That's well, fine. Let's see. Let's find the best.
Oh God! He's hacking the system.
He's hacking. Getting in the mainframe.
We got this new program, so anytime I type, it's gonna be real loud. Let's say this was in. Let's just call it 1991 when they tied 1919. How about that?
Seems right.
And that's when the grudge began. Remember that time you tied us, you sons of bitches?
You tied us and peed on our truck.
Here's one from The Great Its, noted cold person on Twitter. After Florida beat Oklahoma, I saw a drunk girl in Midtown try to jump over a fountain firework, fall, and just sit on top of it giggling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird way it to tickles. Get pregnant.
Yeah,
no, that's. I have this one, which seems to be the most dangerous one of all, which was from at NJC20 Nick. When David Boston cut Joe Germain's TD pass to win the 97 Rose Bowl, we all lost it, and my cousin's black lab got stuck between a chair and a coffee table and had a real hard time in the kerfuffle. Wacky stuff. Okay, listen, this sounds innocuous. But the damage a dog can do trapped between furniture, particularly one like a black lab, you're all lucky that apartment, like, has a ceiling. It could have exploded in there.
Yeah, y'all have made some. Spencer, do you have an example of this? I don't want to paint with a broad brush here, but I feel like you are a good go-to for rash decisions.
And bad decisions, you know.
And if we're talking celebrations, it sure ain't going to be me.
Well, I wasn't going to bring that up. Although you did, you know, again, the playoff run you just experienced. Unparalleled. Unparalleled.
It got pretty wild after we beat Monmouth or whoever.
It was nutty. In terms of celebrations, I have a confession.
Yeah.
That I rarely celebrate when we win.
Okay.
Like when we were good, I am too close to the coach mentality of I am very, very, very happy when we don't lose.
We did our job. We did our job.
That's it. Do your job. No, it's more the like, oh God, winning doesn't even, I'm wired so backward that really winning isn't the thing. Like, I just don't want to lose. Right. When they're like, man, that guy hates, like, when Spurrier would win and he'd never really look like he would look kind of smug. Like, I might get smug, but I'm never really happy. I'm only mad when we lose. That's how bad my wiring is at this point in sports.
I do like this one also from Maggie Hendricks, at Maggie Hendricks on Twitter. My sister blew out her car horn while honking after a Bulls championship. That's commitment.
Oh God. That's good.
That's just straight up commitment. It also sort of dates that story, mostly because we're talking about a Bulls championship, so you can sort of say, like, ah, that's what cars were like.
Yeah, some of y'all might not believe the Bulls have a championship.
It happened. This is extremely Wisconsin. It's from at Jonesy9872. It might be my favorite one we've gotten tonight. It's from York, not York. After the Badgers beat undefeated Ohio State in 2003, I celebrated by getting some sparring equipment and boxing a roommate or the living room. It's a good typo. I lost. There are so many things I know are true that are happening in the background before we even get to this.
Sure, sure.
One, is there a low light fixture? Yeah, there's a low light fixture in this room to make it more dangerous, right? Probably hit their heads on it. That's like how low it is. Two,
is there a empty party ball or pony keg that has been there for way too long? Yes. Also, that is there.
Yep. Xbox with wires visible all over the place. 100%. Yeah.
Is okay. There a dog bed but no dog?
Check. And
there's a ferret. There's a ferret.
Yeah. Is there some form of reclaimed or third hand sectional sofa with at least $75 and change in the cushions in between harvests for pizza? Yes.
Is there a framed collage of beer bottle caps that is unfinished?
Check. Right. And
the scene is set. Fight night. Yeah.
Fight night to celebrate. That's my favorite part, because that also tells us that beers greater than 10, you're in the, like, you're in the complete lunacy range right there when you talk about what's happening here. Yeah, complete lunacy. This is not anything that a sober person or even a pretty drunk person would consider to be a given. Notice there's no negotiation here, right? Like, he showed up like, hey guys, let's box. Everyone's in.
There's also an omission here that I hope is telling. It's probably not. The boxing a roommate. I like to imagine that this did not take place in Wisconsin. That our friend here was living in, I don't know, Texas or Oregon or Virginia or something. And this was just a roommate who did not give a shit about Wisconsin or Ohio State. I was just like, yeah, that's fine. I'll punch you in the fucking face. Yeah, all right, sure. I didn't even watch the game. But if this is what you want, so be it. I just got home from work. It's fine. Lace him up.
That's a good friend.
It's a responsible roommate, is what it is. We got another one just now. This is from Stephen Con 12. ND clinched 12-0 Thanksgiving weekend my first year out of college. I was 21, watching at my 30-year-old brother's friend's parents' house. Okay, so that gives you an appropriate sense of the disconnect between Stephen and these people. ND beats USC. I black out and eat all of the family's Thanksgiving leftovers while they're sleeping. That's literally what a dog does. That's
the revenge,
like,
goat.
That's straight out of like a Beethoven sixth or something, a direct to VHS Beethoven movie. You turned into a lovable, trouble causing Saint Bernard.
Or just a bear. You know, when someone comes back to their cabin and they're like, he ate 3 turkeys and drank 83 beers and he passed out in our Bronco and then he pooped.
No, Steven is the fucking Grinch.
Go Irish.
Steven's here to just take your whole holiday.
Steven's a good Notre Dame capitalist, though. That's some investment banker cred when you're like, well, if nobody else have it,
squatter's rights.
I have to say, Steven, that's some definite Ayn Rand. That's an Ayn Rand Thanksgiving right there. My highest priority is my own happiness.
Did we do the Ja'Cory Harris one?
No.
These are rolling in like live.
This is our first live show. Here it is. It's happening right now.
We asked for these about 4 minutes before pressing record, so they're still rolling in. From Sporps Shouting, what a handle. When OSU beat Ja'Cory Harris in Miami at home in 09, I drank so much I burst a blood vessel in my eye throwing up. Nothing to add.
Over Ja'Cory Harris. That's my favorite part. Like, we're going to go places.
Not just regular Miami. Ja'Cory Harris, Miami.
Yeah, God. This is another good one. After the 2008 UF Championship, this is from Clobberbeard, at Clobberbeard. I had a pleasant conversation with a policeman while drinking a beer out of a giant foam finger in the middle of University Avenue. The next day, I awoke with a mysterious bandage on my lacerated foot. It's good. You have mementoed yourself. Congratulations. Solve the mystery.
I will tell you this. This was not my team, okay? But it was a celebration. It was when Portugal and the United States, okay, played in 2002, I want to say. Yeah, it was the 2002 World Cup. And when we beat Portugal 3-2, you had to get up because this is when it was in Japan and South Korea, right? And I thought, man, I got to get up at 4 to watch this game. I had to basically make it through a day waking up at like 3 in the morning to get a seat, 4 to watch the game. And then I had to go to work. Right. But it was fine. It was the World Cup. It was going to work. And we beat them 3-2. We weren't supposed to beat Portugal, but we beat them 3-2. And it was great and really like terrifying. And they were serving orange juices at the brew house in Atlanta. You can't really serve alcohol then, but you can ring up like an $8 orange juice, which is loaded with vodka. Right. So they just kept passing those out. Here. Yeah. United States is doing well. Come on. Keep drinking. And the game ended at like 6:30, and I was the kind of hammer that you are only at like 1 a.m. And I had to do the entire day like that. Like I was like, woo, we won! And you're like, I'll go get a big breakfast. I'll tame this alcohol. I'll beat it back with a wave of grease, determination, and caffeine. And around 10:15 in the office, I was like, excuse me. Went and just puked in the bathroom. For America! For America! Like, do you need to go home? Are you sick?
No.
Right as rain. No.
No, 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 no. Continue. Commerce must move forward. I really enjoy how many of these involve Ohio State on at least one side. This one from Patrick Mayhorn. Patrick Mayhorn. Fell off the roof of a house after Ohio State won the championship in 2015.
I like the lack of the lack of like drunkenness or I was stone sober, climbed up there and leapt right off.
All of the Ohio State examples are just like, they're like a writing prompt. They're like, okay, I'm going to set a scene for you and you tell me how we got here. I fell off the roof. Go!
85 yards through the front of my yard.
I also like this one from Amanda at Arc 93. She says, when Auburn won the kick six iron bowl, I screamed so loud that I had to have surgery on my vocal cords and do vocal therapy for a year. I may possibly need a second surgery this summer. Oh my God.
She blew out her amp.
Wow. That's like the Spider-Man origin story, but without any powers. Like a radioactive spider bit me and I just got very ill.
I've just been sick for 3 years.
I'm still sick.
I can't. This fucking radioactive spider bit me and I can't poop right. That's it.
That's the worst superhero ever. What's my superpower? Terminal illness.
Did y'all ever hear? Remember when Ron Dane was in college? Did y'all ever hear like? There was like this urban legend about him, like he can't run at full speed or his knees will explode. You remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. He's so powerful. That's Amanda's voice.
Yeah. She can't.
The Tigers can't miracle too hard or Amanda will scream everyone out of the stadium.
The team I know that has the most personal, like the most anecdotal evidence for me of being unable to handle success, right? Like Florida fans, I've never seen Florida fans really do too much outrageous stuff because I think we're just too negative, right? Like we win and we're like, oh, thank God.
Well, and I think what this a lot of this misses is that Floridians will just destroy things on a regular. It's like, hey, it's Arbor Day. Let's kick a tree to pieces. I think that's how that. So like there isn't, you know, when you're already going 58, getting to 60 is not that different.
Right. I would, but most of the like most outrageous behavior that I've heard of on an individual basis has been Georgia. Like every time Georgia would have like a big win, which, you know, prior to this year, a big win was like, hey guys, we stuck it to Auburn again.
We beat Georgia Tech.
Take that, nerds. And it's always somebody who just, they just don't know how to act. Right. And like I've got my job in accounting and my name is Thad and I got 18 on Sunday, and then I got to spend time with the family, and then when my football team does even the remotest thing good, I put my face through a plate glass window for them dogs. Like that.
I just realized that guy in the Hummer had to like either take the TV down or just be like, I don't know. You want to watch Charmed? I don't know what to do with this now.
No.
You know what it is? He just put Herschel on it. Herschel running over Bill Bates.
I saw him on the way to dinner the other night, actually.
What?
The yellow Hummer. Yeah. And you know what he's doing with it now?
What?
Advertise here. I'm not lying. It says advertise here. He was running some ad for like a doctor's office on it, right? Like some physician.
His car is the internet. He sucked us in with content, and now it's just ad banners.
Yeah, no, it's just a moving website that, you know, gets viewed by thousands of people a day. It depends on how you count the eyeballs. I will tell you. So, yeah, he's hustling, right? But, like, go look at Georgia fans. There's a video of a guy punching out a window for no reason in a house, right? And they're just like, Randy! Like, that's not how I would react, right? Like, that's a lengthy, like, who raised you?
I hope that guy with the PA system, I hope his neighbor got another one and just every morning. It's just like, still no Georgia champion. Hey, y'all better wake up. No.
Georgia fan. I got a PA. Not even thinking, like, this is a state with plenty of firearms. Somebody just crack a warning shot over my head, see if I'm real serious about this gag. How far you want to carry it, son?
We know the answer.
You want to get loud?
that's, you know, that's a Georgia fan. They're the ones who by far have done, like, when Larry Munson and his famous call for, you know, Florida, Georgia is like, you know, oh, there's going to be some property damage tonight. No, literally, like, I'm sure, like, condos in St. Simons are just covered in all kinds of unspeakable filth after Georgia, I don't know, does something unimportant like repeat Florida.